Good evening. I'm glad you're all here tonight, and I'm glad we have an opportunity to study God's Word, and I hope that something I have prepared will be a benefit to you and be edifying to you. I started studying about the heart and the conditions of the heart, and I kind of got off on a hardened heart and studied about Pharaoh and some different characters, and I ended up coming back around to the parable of the sower. Now, we're all probably pretty familiar with this parable, but I want to take a different look at it tonight. Usually we look at this as the person doing the sowing, and we're not supposed to judge the condition of someone's heart, whether they would be receptive to the gospel or God's word or not, and we should just spread the word. But tonight I want to take an examination of our hearts. How does God's word affect our hearts? How receptive are we to the things we study in God's word? You know, often when we watch a movie or hear a story or something like that, we usually look at it from the point of view as the hero. We can relate to that guy because, after all, we'd be that guy in that situation. You know, and we study about Peter a lot of times, and he kind of gets a bad rap in a lot of those stories. But if we're really honest and we give an honest self-reflection, sometimes we can relate more to the flaws and to the things if we're honest about it. And tonight I want you to look deep in your heart and see how you relate to these things and see how I relate to these things, and hopefully we can grow from this. In Matthew chapter 13, if you want to turn there and leave your Bible marked there, we'll turn back there quite a bit. In Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3 going through 8, says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." You know, Jesus breaks this parable down into basically four categories: those that fell by the wayside, those that fell on the rocky ground, those that were choked out by the thorns, the weeds, and those that fell in good soil. And he goes on to explain this analogy and what exactly he meant by this on down in verse 18. We'll start there. Matthew 13 and 18 says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." You know, when I first read this verse, I was thinking of someone who might hear something in God's word and be confused. Maybe someone who first heard the gospel and didn't understand it. You know, if you hadn't heard that, that'd be kind of foreign. But this verse says anyone. This can and does apply to you and I. Do we approach God's word to just prove an idea that we already have? Do we try to prove others wrong with what we find in the Bible? Or are we searching God's word with an open heart, ready to be convicted of the things that we find? Are we ready to find our own flaws in God's word? You know, we can't have this approach because we can't grow. If we can't find our flaws, we can't change them. And so we have to be willing to have an honest heart when we search God's word. You know, it says the evil one snatches what is sown. If we aren't growing and understanding what God's word is, that's exactly what's happening. What good is having the word and hearing it if we don't apply it, if we don't hang on to that? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." You know, there's a saying that if you're having an argument or talking to somebody, they don't really want to hear your opinion. They just want to hear their opinion coming out of your mouth. You know, they want you to agree with it, what they agree with. You know, we can't afford to approach God's word with this mindset. You know, if you're never wrong, if I'm never wrong, we can't make a change. And also, if we never push ourselves through discomfort to study things that we don't understand, we can't grow. We have to step out of our comfort zone in order to grow. We have to study about things that may be a little foreign to us, and they may not make sense at first, but we always have to strive to learn more. You know, there's terms like growing pains for a reason. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But just like anything, we have to have practice to get good at it. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." You know, this isn't some request that we cry out to God and he'll whisper something in our ear or that we'll suddenly know what it is. We're told to search. In verse 4, it says, "Seek as silver or as a hidden treasure." You know, that's something, if you think about somebody that's searching for a treasure, they usually go out and they dig, they hunt around, they search for it. And we need to do that with God's word. We don't just need to wait for some divine revelation that's not coming. We have to dig in the Bible. We have to search for that as a treasure. You know, Chris, I appreciated his lesson this morning. He was talking about the golden rule and how it's not passive. It's not just don't do things that you don't want to happen to you, but it's proactive. And anything we do in our walk in Christianity should be proactive. Christianity is not passive. We have to get up and we have to go do, and we have to constantly search God's word. In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Your true understanding of God's word means applying it, means taking action. And that's a consistent thread throughout Scripture. You know, now that you've heard, well, go do it, go apply it. You know, to know God's word and not apply it is basically nothing at all. It's like he said, looking in the mirror and you forget what you look like. You know, if you go listen to God's word, if you go search God's word, but you don't apply it, what good is it? You know, what good is it to learn about honesty if you cheat everybody that you do business with? Or what good is it to learn about having a good attitude towards those around us if we treat everybody like they're disposable? You know, what good is it to hear about the gospel plan of salvation and understand that Christ died for your sins if you never take advantage of that plan? So when we hear God's word, we don't need to just pass it by. We don't need to be that heart where the seed is thrown to the wayside. The next type of soil that is listed there is the rocky ground. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 says, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles." You know, I think we may could all relate to this in some manner. You know, it's really easy to be excited about God's word, about Christianity and following God, when it's new to us. You know, when you first became a Christian, it was exciting. It's new. You know, church still had that new car smell, so to speak. But that will eventually wear off. It won't always be easy. You know, when we feel like we're growing in leaps and bounds because everything's new, eventually that goes away and we have to work at it more. You know, I mean, how many sermons have you heard on the parable of the sower? You know, a million plus one. And that's one of those things that it takes effort not to grow weary, not to just hear these things and stumble when life throws us curveballs. You know, maybe when old temptations pull at you, or when nobody else feels like they're serving God around you, you know, that's easy to fall off the bandwagon. You know, when you're around people constantly that don't serve God, that pull you away, it's easy to grow callous with that, to stumble. You know, and our Christian walk, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're not done until we die, unfortunately. We're going to have to keep running until the day we die. And if we're going to make sure that we don't wither on the hot days like the person whose heart was the stony ground, we have to root ourselves in God. We have to build a foundation in His Word. So ask yourself, what are you rooted in tonight? Are you rooted in spiritual things? Do you spend your time with people around you that are pulling you away from God? Or that have the same goal and the same mindset to serve God, to constantly grow? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." There's a saying that you're a combination of the five people that you spend the most time around. Do you plant your roots in good influences and surround yourselves with good people? Or do you surround yourself with people who are constantly pulling you away from God, who are actively trying to commit sin? You know, if that's what you're doing, it's really easy to become that person with the rocky ground for a heart. It's really easy to wither and to fall away. And we need to make sure that we're not doing that. We need to guard against that. In Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31, it talks about the remaining people of Judah after being delivered from the Assyrians. And the point is made that in order to bear fruit, you have to also have roots. In Isaiah chapter 37 and 31, it says, "And the remnant that escaped the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." We cannot bear fruit without roots. You know, any plant that you've ever seen, any tree, if it's going to be fruitful, it has to have a good root system. And as Christians, if we plan to be fruitful, we have to have that root system. And this is as true for us now as it was in this verse referring to Judah. You know, if your relationship with God is lacking or struggling, the fruit is going to show that. But we don't address the fruit. We address the root system, and the fruit follows. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, a tree that's planted by the water, you know, the analogy there is that it has everything it needs. It's getting nourished by everything that it needs. But it's the exact opposite of a plant on that rocky soil. To grow our roots in God and to not burn up at the first sign of adversity, we have to plant our hearts by the water. We have to plant our hearts in God's word. And we need to surround ourselves with good things, with good people. We can't surround ourselves with everything that's on TV, with people that we may work around that's evil, you know, all the things that we face in this life. If we surround ourselves with those things, we are going to fall away and wither. So we need to be careful about how we spend our time and what we do with it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, ye need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You know, this is what I kind of thought of when I thought of having that rocky soil. You know, it starts out really good at first, but then you kind of fall away. You know, we're in need of milk, not strong meat. We can't help others because somebody's having to carry our weight. And that's a good reason alone to strive not to have that type of heart, to really be rooted in God's word so we can grow in understanding, so that we can spread God's word. And if we want to grow and have that good spiritual root system, we have to work at it. We have to be proactive. The third type of soil that is mentioned in the parable is the seed that was choked out by the thorns, by the weeds. And Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22 says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, there's a lot of things just living in this life that require our attention. You know, there's just no way around it. We have to work, we have to provide. But do those things rule over you? Do they rule over your heart? Do they sit in your heart in God's place? You know, it isn't easy to get by. You know, like I say, there's constant planning that we have to do. It takes investment of time, energy, resources. Just going through life takes effort. But we need to make sure that those things don't pull us away from God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." I think the more I've gone through life, I've realized that it's a bunch of trade-offs. No matter what you do in life, you're going to have to make a trade. And it's hard to accept that we can't have everything in life, that we can't afford everything in life, and not necessarily with money, but with what that's going to cost us. You know, there's nothing wrong with working hard, with providing, and in fact, we're commanded to do so to the best of our abilities. We're supposed to work hard. We're not called to be lazy or unmotivated, but to do our best. But that being said, we can't have everything. I was listening to a podcast where they interviewed multiple people, and they was just from all walks of life, but they were successful or one of the top people in their industry, from anything to, you know, a professional athlete to a billionaire, whatever it was. And a common thread was these people sacrificed everything to get where they were. You know, they sacrificed family, they sacrificed spouses, they sacrificed religion, whatever it was. And I'm not saying that you can't have things in this life and be successful and not follow God. But a lot of the time, these people were drawn away from the cares of this riches, from the cares and the riches of this world. They were choked out by the thorns. And we need to guard against that. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know what the hard part about that is that the world appeals to us. You know, the world is kind of like that friend that's always fun and doesn't seem like it's that harmless, but it's probably going to get you into trouble. And that's what we need to guard against. You know, the world will appeal to our fleshly side. You know, just like the fruit appealed to Eve. It looked good to the eyes. It looked like it might be tasty, but it was a trade-off. You know, she thought it was going to be good, but in reality, it wasn't. So do we strive to just appease our fleshly side for just a second? You know, that can never be satisfied. Or do we try to appease God and our spiritual side? Because that will give us peace for eternity. In 1 John chapter 2, going through 15 and 17, says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, this is one of those things we could keep searching and keep pulling verses out of the Bible, but it's going to have this continuous theme. It's going to have this continual thread. And what it's going to ultimately do is lead us to a choice. As we read, we can't serve God and we can't serve mammon. We can't serve the things of this world. And doing nothing, being passive, is a choice. We can just sit and do nothing. We can let things pass us by and just say we're not going to partake in them. But if we're not actively pursuing God, that is a choice. You know, the three things that were listed in this verse in some way is going to affect us all. We're going to have to fight against one of those things. There's not a sin that you can think of that doesn't trace back to one of those three things. And so we need to guard against these things. What the world has to offer will constantly pull at us, and we have to pull back. You know, there's a good practice that you hear that you shouldn't make business decisions using emotion. And I think that's very true. You know, when you're making a decision, you should look at the facts, you should look at what's the numbers, what's going on, and just make a clear, decisive decision. You should do that without emotion. You know, a lot of times, following God is that way. Because if we follow our hearts, if we follow what feels good, that emotion that the world will tell you to follow your heart, that's going to lead you away. We have to make a rational choice to serve and to follow God. Because the things of the world will choke that word out of our hearts. You know, the world would have us believe that Satan is this big red guy with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. But I think that really dumbs it down a lot. I think Satan comes dressed as everything that we've ever wanted or anything that appeals to us. He's that wolf in sheep's clothing. And we have to be careful against that, because if we use our heart and emotion to make decisions, it's not going to end well. We have to step back and realize what is best for our lives, what is best for eternity. Anything this life offers doesn't compare to what God offers. What God offers far outweighs anything we could find in this life. That brings us to the next soil in our parable. And that was the good soil, the soil that we should strive to have in our hearts. Matthew 13, verse 23 says, "But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You know what's neat about soil is that it's honest and it's simple. You kind of get out what you put in. If I go put a corn seed in the ground, an oak tree isn't going to pop up. You're going to get corn. You know, we know what to expect from it. And we should know what we expect when we sow seed in this life. Christ has given us the seed we need to bear fruit. It's his word. But we have to make sure our hearts are ready to receive it. If we're going to bear fruit, we have to bury that seed deep in our hearts so that we can be fruitful, so that we can share it with others. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 4 through 6, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." God has an expectation of each and every one of us. All this that we have studied about tonight comes down to one thing. Are we bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit in your life? Am I bearing fruit in my life? He extended his mercy to us by sending us Christ. And we need to make sure that we share that with others. We don't want to be that unprofitable branch that is cast into the fire. And he tells us that he requires us to bear fruit. In order to do that, we need to look at what we are sowing. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You know, that's a pretty simple idea, but I think oftentimes in the world around us, it's lost, that idea. You know, nobody wants to take responsibility. You know, there's a cause and effect. They do something and are surprised when they get a certain reaction. And we need to guard against that. We need to make sure the seeds we are sowing are those of Christ. Does that mean that every seed, every endeavor that we set out to sow, that we'll see a harvest from it? I think that's a pretty safe no. But you can be sure the seeds that you don't sow, you will not reap a harvest from. We have to get up and we have to sow in order to have a harvest. To bear fruit, we have to plant. You know, we've talked mostly tonight about the heart, but I also want to take a look at the parable a little different. We looked and we tried to examine our hearts, but no matter what the state of our heart is, no matter what the state of others' hearts are, God's word is sufficient to reach it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, tonight, it's not a question of whether or not God's word can penetrate a heart, can grow in certain places. God's word is the only thing that gives us a chance in this life. And we need to make sure that we're applying that in our hearts and spreading it to those around us, no matter what we think their heart may be like. God's word is the most powerful thing that we have at our disposal to change lives and to shape hearts. So as Christians, we need to let it. We need to make sure that our heart is that good, fertile soil that it can take root in, that we can bear fruit. And we need to be receptive, and we need to be doers, and we need to apply that to our lives. So tonight, if you have found that you've been pulled away in some way from God's word, from the church, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need the help to get back on track, we can help you with that. Or if you haven't started your walk, now is a good time to do that. If you haven't been baptized and have your sins washed away, there's no time like the present. So tonight, if there be one of either class that needs the help of the church, we ask that you have a seat on the front pew as we stand and as we sing.